Lord, we pray that words to songs would run deep in our heart and that you would teach our hearts to sing your praise. Lord, we pray for our nation and for other nations in this world that have been rattled by a virus. But Lord, you're not rattled. You're on the throne. Lord, I pray that as people have gathered in their homes, listening to your word, that you would send it forth and accomplish the purpose whereunto you send it. That through it all, you would be all the more glorified. That people might come to a saving knowledge of you. That the peoples of this world might praise your holy name. We give you thanks for the work that you have done through our Lord Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice, for his death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, we know that you live and that you reign. And we look to you for hope and for mercy. We do not look to the government. That is not our authority. You alone are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask that you'd help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We ask that you'd help us to be a peaceable people, one of sound mind, that we might discern your will, that we might walk in your ways, that your name might be magnified. We cry for your mercies today, and we know that you're a God who answers. You hear our prayers. You know our weaknesses, our needs. We look to you to do a mighty work, whereby only you can do, whereby only you get the honor and the glory for Christ's sake. Amen. We are in unusual times that calls for unusual measures and different methods which we have never crossed before. And though we might not be assembled as far as in body, we are assembled together in spirit. And this is a good opportunity, a good time. A time for you to take notes. A time for you to write down questions. A time to ask questions. This is probably the first time I've ever discouraged anyone from attending the house of the Lord. But yet I've had to do that. I pray that will not last long. This we know, the Lord is on the throne. And with so much changes, which are changing every day, we know Christ is a sure and steady anchor. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. We have been doing a study through Hebrews, and we're in chapter 2, so I want to direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll only cover a few verses of Scripture this morning, but I pray that God's Word would be comforting and encouraging to you. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." This passage of Scripture starts out that we ought to give the more earnest heed. But before it says we ought to give the more earnest heed, it says therefore. And any time you're in the Word of God and you see the word therefore or wherefore, you've got to look before to see what it's there for. Look in chapter 1 and you can see what the writer is cautioning these people to do. Now, remember in particular who he is writing to. He's writing basically to a Jewish people. He is writing to Jewish unbelievers. He is writing to Jewish believers. And he's also writing to Jewish people who have heard the word, but they have not committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, what he is referring to from chapter 2 when he says, therefore, he refers back to chapter 1. And you remember in chapter 1 how we did a study all through chapter 1 and it showed the excellencies of the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what you see in chapter 1 is how Jesus Christ is the supreme word. He is the supreme prophet. He is the final word of God to us. The word of God says he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God the Father has spoken to us by his Son, and even as he spoke when our Lord was upon this earth, I believe the words are the same today. We need to listen to him. We need to listen to our Lord Jesus Christ because he is the final revelation of God. In verse 2, it tells us in chapter 1, he is appointed heir of all things. In chapter 1 and verse 2, he tells us he created all the worlds. Jesus Christ is the creator, and therefore by right, he is the rightful inheritor of all things. The word of God says in verse 3 that he is the brightness of his glory. And that's referring to the glory of God, the greatness of God, and all of his great attributes. Jesus Christ is that Shekinah glory that shines forth. Notice what the Word of God goes on to say. It says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. That word upholding, it's the Greek word pharaoh, and it means to actually bring things along to their accomplished purpose. God's got a plan, God's got a purpose, and he's bringing everything along to his accomplished purpose for everything. The Word of God goes on to tell us that he is the express image. He is the exact character of God. He is the Redeemer. The Word of God says he has purged us from our sins. And he is the great high priest. He is the one who has sat down on the right hand of God. He is greater, as the Word of God goes on to say in verse 4. He is greater than the angels. He is greater by name than the angel. He is greater in his worship compared to the angels. And he is greater in his person, being God, a very God. Therefore, the Word of God tells us we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard. What you have heard concerning our Lord Jesus Christ during these times that we're going through. And the government, let me say, is in a little bit of chaos, I think. The government and media have hyped things. I do believe the coronavirus is a very serious matter. Do not get me wrong. But I do believe the hype and the fear that the hype is causing causes more damage than the coronavirus overall. We must therefore give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Why is that? Because the Word of God gives us a warning. Because at any time, we should let them slip. If we are not careful, we can get caught up in the hype. We can get caught up in the high tension. Oh, what are we going to do? The panic. We must realize that Jesus Christ is still God. He's not abdicated his throne. He still rules and he still reigns. And if we're not careful, we'll let that kind of thing slip away, which is the greatest thing. And if we drift away or slip away, we're headed for shipwreck. Many, many years ago, I remember when I was living in Myrtle Beach for a short time, I remember going out into the ocean. And as I went out into the ocean, I remember I had two other friends with me, and they could swim. I could not. And my two friends, one was named Taylor, one was named Robin. Robin could swim real good, and they were out there swimming, and I'm just wading out there, and I'm about chest deep. Before I knew it, the water's up to my chin, and I realized I'm getting pulled out, and I can't swim. That's not good. My feet were slipping because of the undertow. And as I started fighting my way back to shore, I did not drown. I guess you can see that. But as I was fighting my way back to shore, it took me about 10 minutes to get back to the beach. My two friends had drifted even farther out. One of them had the other one, and he's swimming, and he's kind of got him under the neck and swimming toward a pier. They finally reached the pier. I finally reached a lifeguard that had about 10 or 15 girls around him swooning and everything. And I'm trying to get his attention, and I'm telling them there are people out there hurting. They're in need. He finally realizes what I say. One of my friends, the other guy was basically saving, had grasped onto the pier full of barnacles. The barnacles were just cutting him up. The lifeguard tried to make it out. He could not make it out because the undercurrent was so fierce. They eventually got some boats and went out there, and they got him. They had to rush him to the hospital. He was really eat up bad. The reason I tell that story is because it's very easy for your feet to start slipping and you don't even know it. It's very easy to drift away from the truth of God's Word and from the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And if you're not careful, you drift away, and then your life is in great danger. Many people have lost their moorings. Many people have lost and are off course. Panic, anxiety, self-centeredness. All you have to do is go into the grocery store, go into Walmart, go into whatever store and look for toilet paper. Everybody's panic buying. I assure you, toilet paper will not save you. Kitty litter's gone too. Kitty litter won't save you. We need to be calm, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the anchor in the time of storm. It used to be a kid's song I used to sing, and I'm not going to sing it this morning. With Jesus in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. And with Jesus in my vessel, I can smile at the coronavirus. Whatever troubles come in life, they come in your life to try you and test you. They test your walk with Jesus Christ. And I pray that through what's happening, that we would not have so much of a self-focus, but that we would have a Christ-centered focus. That our trust would be in Him. It is He and He alone that can take a virus away. He's greater than any problem, greater than any virus, greater than any troubles that we face in life. There are other people that have other troubles and other problems. I'm not saying Jesus Christ would take all your problems and give you a bed of roses. What I'm simply saying, Jesus Christ can calm the storm, or He can calm you through the storm. And oh, how so many people are adrift. The Word of God says we need to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How do we slip? From the things which we have heard, how do we slip away from the truth of the glories of Christ? Let me give you a couple ways. One is through carelessness. Just like in that ocean when I was wading out, and I got up to about here, then I got up to here, then I realized I was being very careless because I was up to here. You know what? It was very subtle. It was not something I decided to do, to get up the water up to my neck, up to my mouth almost. But it was carelessness. And even so, there are a lot of people who have carelessly drifted away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people drift away or slip away because of the lack of attention Believe me, when water started jumping in my mouth from the ocean, it got my attention, but I had lacked attention up to that point. The Jews, as the writer to the Hebrews is writing, they were in danger of drifting back into Judaism. They were in danger of going back unto the law. Even so today, he's writing to people who have heard the gospel. They're not committed. And because they're not committed, they're falling back to trusting in self. Self-reliance. One of the studies which we have been doing recently in the book of Amos on Wednesday evenings. Amos is warning the people of Israel about their affluent lifestyle. And because of their riches and their being well off, God's going to punish them because they've neglected the Lord God. They have been careless. They have slipped. And Amos warns them that trouble is coming. You remember Jesus rebuking the church at Laodicea. And he rebuked them because they had left their first love. In the United States of America, this I can say for sure, most people live very affluent lifestyles. Even those that are poor live very affluent lifestyles compared to third world countries. There are a lot of people that are no longer fervent in their faith. They've lost, or they are lacking devotion to Jesus Christ. Their interest is waning. They are starting to slip, and many have slipped and started to drift. But you know what? When you start to slip, you don't plan to slip. It's a gradual thing. It's not a sudden thing saying, I'm going to renounce Christianity. I'm going to turn from that. It's a gradual slipping away. How do we do that with Christ? How does one who's heard of Christ and heard the gospel of Christ, seeing how glorious Christ is, how do they drift? As believers, one of the things I think we do, sometimes we lose the wonder of how glorious our Savior is. And I believe that's why the writer to the Hebrews here, he is referring them back, give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Sometimes busyness in life will cause us to slip in pondering the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. What the writer does in the next few verses, and we only have 3 verses left that I'd like to cover today, what the writer does, he gives proof from the past in verse 2. He says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, the word that was spoken by angels was spoken to Moses on the mount as they gave the law, as it came from God. It was steadfast. It was sure. In other words, it was something that was not going to change." And he says, "And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." In other words, every sin, transgression, and disobedience, according to the Word of God in the Old Testament, people were punished for. Every violation was punished because the Word was solid, set, steadfast, sure. You think of the 23,000 that died in the Exodus. You think of others that were struck down. There was a young man that gathered on the Sabbath day. And when the young man was found, he was gathering sticks. They sought the Lord's face, and the Lord told them to stone him to death, because what he did was a violation, and the punishment was by death. What we find in verse 3, we find proof from our present situation. And while the Old Testament talks about how punishment came upon sinners, the Word of God says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This is so great a salvation. How are we going to escape if we ignore it or if we neglect it? Notice he gives evidence concerning this. This great salvation was first spoken by the Lord. This so great a salvation was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is in comparison to the angels who gave the word that was from God, and it was sure and steadfast. But this so great a salvation, which is so much greater salvation that the Lord gives us, it was first spoken by the Lord. Listen to what the Word of God says over in John chapter 3. In John's Gospel chapter 3, what we find is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. As he's talking to him, he says in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus repeated, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answers and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Are you a master of Israel, and you know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and you received not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel. Listen to what it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and down in verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord? And then the Word of God tells us that it was compared or confirmed unto us by them that heard him. What is the Word of God saying here? The Word of God is saying that the gospel was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. In other words, this is a second generation that has come along. And it's come second hand. They've heard it from those who heard it from Christ. It's kind of like if you go back in history, there are records as far as some historical records of the Apostle John, who had a disciple named Polycarp, who had a disciple named Irenaeus. And they heard from one another right down the line. In other words, the gospel was shared from faith to faith. "Even so the just shall live by faith." Not only is that a record of that, but notice in verse 4, the Word of God confirms that God bore witness. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. God bore witness, and you think back to the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, all these people from all these different nations, they're coming and they're speaking different languages, and God poured out His Spirit upon those apostles. And what they did, they began speaking in other tongues or languages, communicating the gospel to people from all over the world that had come to Jerusalem to worship on the day of Pentecost. Even so, the apostles, by their hands, God granted them miracles and wonders. People marveled at the work they did. And God did that. God did that to confirm their witness, putting His stamp of approval and showing that this was God. But notice, God did that according to His own will. So the question comes in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect? We don't pay attention. We disregard so great a salvation. Those who heard, but they never committed, or they never surrendered to Him. They slip away. You know what? There is no escape for them. There is no other gospel that will save. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He's not one of many ways. He is the way. If we neglect that great salvation that is in Jesus Christ, there is no other hope for man. So what is the answer to drifting? The answer to drifting is found back in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Let me exhort you today. The governor is not your salvation. The government is not your salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is our hope. He is our only hope. And we look to Him. And we as God's people need to be crying out to God and using common sense. He is ruler over coronavirus. Don't drift. It is a call today to us as God's people to trust in the Lord our God. This past week, we had a dear member from our church that was in a car wreck. The man that hit her, he was going in convulsions or something, and he crossed the line and he wrecked into her. Thankfully, our member was not hurt. But think with me for a moment. The young man, he was a young man that hit her. A bus driver saw this take place, jumped out of the car, went to attend to the man, and he was totally unresponsive. The police officer, after writing the report, after the ambulance took the man off, on the way to the hospital, the young man was still unresponsive. I don't know what happened to the young man. Don't know if he passed away. It sounds like he may have. If his biggest concern in life was the coronavirus, you know what? That was not really his biggest concern. Your life is but a vapor. The Word of God tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. The main thing is that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The main thing is that we trust in Him and that we don't drift, that we give that more earnest heed to that which we have heard concerning Him. I pray that you know Him. I pray that you have a desire to learn more of Him. I pray that the gospel never grows old. I pray that the more you learn of Jesus Christ, the more you want to learn of Jesus Christ and be found in Him. I want to read one other song. This song is "God Be Merciful to Me." On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgression now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. My transgressions I confess, grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just, speechless I thy mercy trust. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. Thou alone my Savior art, teach thy wisdom to my heart. Make me pure, thy grace bestow, wash me whiter than the snow. Broken, humble to the dust, by thy wrath and judgment just. Let my contrite heart rejoice, and in gladness hear thy voice. From my sins, O hide thy face, blot them out in boundless grace. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. Sinners then shall learn from me, and return, O God, to thee. Savior, all my guilt remove, and my tongue shall sing thy love. Touch my silent lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall praise accord. I pray that you're trusting in the God of all mercies, who are plenteous and new every morn. I close with one other hymn, and it is very simply a benediction. May the peace of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of Christ the risen Son, and the fellowship of God the Spirit, keep our hearts and minds within His love. And to Him be praise for His glorious reign, from the depths of earth to the heights of heaven. We declare the name of the Lamb once slain, Christ eternal, the King of kings. May this peace which passes understanding, and this grace which makes us what we are, and this fellowship of His communion make us one in spirit and in heart. And to Him be praise for His glorious reign, from the depths of earth to the heights of heaven. We declare the name of the Lamb once slain, Christ eternal, the King of kings. Thank you.